for Wednesday, May 9th, 2012. ENT is brought to you by Udemy. Udemy enables anyone to take and build courses online. Their goal is to disrupt and democratize education by enabling anyone to learn from the world's experts. Visit them at udemy.com, and you can also find them on Twitter, of course, at Udemy. We thank them very much for their support of ENT. Welcome to ENT. I'm Kirsten Winkler.
And I'm Christopher Dawson. So this week in tech, this Wednesday, Vigo is a robot that goes to school or work for you. If only. Running on Verizon's 4G LTE network, Vigo is already being used in a variety of situations, including schools. Students who can't attend school due to an illness or handicap can instead virtually attend classes via Vigo. Unlike other telepresence systems where the camera is stationary, Vigo is a robot on wheels, allowing a student to adjust where the camera is pointed, talk to their teacher and classmates, and even hit the road for the next class. Since Vigo is connected over LTE, it can maintain connectivity throughout an entire school building without requiring the school to offer Wi-Fi throughout every building and every classroom. That's brought to us by Mashable. Oh, great.
Could definitely need one or two Vigos taking appointments for me.
Oh, three or four, absolutely. Although that 4G thing could be a bit of a limitation out here in the States.
Exactly, but having our little personal fleet of Vigos.
Of Vigos. Perfect. Our minions.
Okay, in our K-12 in higher ed section, the Washington University School of Law goes online with an LLM program in U.S. law that's shared by Tutor, obviously. The Washington University School of Law announced that it will begin offering its Master of Laws in U.S. Law for foreign lawyers, so the LLM program in online format. It's called the at WashULaw, so supposedly their Twitter handle as well. The program is the first and only top-tier online LLM in U.S. law. It builds on the school's internationally recognized postgraduate law degree program, which is designed for foreign attorneys interested in increasing their knowledge of U.S. law to more effectively practice in today's global legal environment. Sure. So the at WashULaw will allow foreign lawyers to complete an LLM degree in U.S. law without ever or even leaving their law practices or relocating to the United States. Students will receive an excellent grounding in U.S. law and with a focus on business issues without a dramatic disruption to their professional and personal lives or the relocation costs associated with a prolonged stay overseas. Definitely would have considered that back then at university doing my own.
Gladly, no kidding. Tutor, they're coming on strong, so good stuff. So a principal resigns after creating a fake Facebook profile to spy on students. As detailed by the Kansas City Star, high school principal Louise Losos at Clayton High School, Missouri, resigned at the end of last week after discovered that she had created a fake Facebook profile under the name Susie Harrison. Harrison's profile had some out of over 300 friends, mostly targeted Clayton High School students, in addition to some parents. Rather than using a profile picture of a female student, Dr. Losos used a picture of a group of penguins to avoid identification. More Linux getting a bad name in K-12. Okay,
how should we interpret the penguins?
I know. Come on. Leave the penguins out of this. As more Clayton High School students and parents accepted Susie Harrison's friend request, this allowed Dr. Losos to view all comments being made by these people. So know who your friends really are on Facebook. That's from digitaltrends.com.
CNN, who else, reports on an Indiana mom sending her son to school with a stun gun to confront bullies. Okay, so we have heard and we had bully stories in the past here on ENT and you're on K-12, so some rather drastic behavior now. So an Indiana mother who sent her gay son to school with a stun gun after administrators apparently didn't do enough to stop the bullying against him, said she would do it again, even though the teen now faces expulsion. "I do not promote violence, not at all, but what is a parent to do when she has done everything that she felt she was supposed to do at the school?" The mother, Chelsea, Chilisa, sorry, Sir Lisa Grimes told CNN's Don Lemon on Sunday, I did feel like there was nothing else left for me to do but protect my child. The school district had an expulsion hearing last week, but no decision has been announced. As I said, quite drastic, but the case seems to be...
It's quite desperate.
Yeah, quite desperate, and apparently when they were seeking measurements from the school site already, who knows, but...
Yeah, it's certainly not a news story to hear schools not following through on all those anti-bullying policies that kind of ran the gamut last year. So the AP surges as a tool for schools raising standards. Not long ago, advanced placement exams were mostly for top students looking to challenge themselves and get a head start on college credit. Not anymore. In the last 2 weeks, 2 million students will take 3.7 million end-of-year AP exams, figures well over double those from a decade ago. With no national curriculum, AP has become the de facto gold standard for high school rigor. States and high schools are pushing AP classes and exams as a way to raise standards across the board, in some cases tying AP to bonuses. And the federal government is helping cover the exam fees. Teachers acknowledge the trend raises tough questions. Is pushing poorly prepared students to take college-level classes effective, or does it just demoralize them and divert time and money better spent elsewhere? That is exactly the question. My own school district has continued to wrestle with this and bumped up enrollment in the AP classes. But are we dumbing down standards? How are we doing that? I don't know. But that comes from Boston.com, and at least people are making an attempt to raise the bar, and that is always good news.
Exactly. And, yeah, as always, an evolutionary, ongoing process, but at least people are thinking about it, and not only, even started doing something.
Exactly.
Okay, and then surprising, maybe not so surprising if you know China, a story from China. So getting amino acids, a student receiving IV drips during study. As the National College Entrance Examination is approaching, there are a bunch of students who seem to be the hardest working ones to prepare for it because they get intravenous, the IV drips, while studying in class.
Wow.
The dean of the middle school, CR, said that every year each student receives 10 RMBs stipends for the preparation of the National College Entrance Examination. The stipend can be used in the clinic room, in school, in the means of receiving amino acids. That comes from ChinaHush.com. And, wow.
I'm kind of speechless on that one.
Speechless, and it was making the rounds on Twitter today, but I think we have almost no idea what's happening and probably the pressure on the children from both what the school expects them to learn and what the parents want, so those pushy parent syndrome maybe. I can hardly believe that it comes out of their own natural kids' behavior.
Yeah, that's certainly not what kids here in the States are putting in their veins. Maybe it's better than that. Anyway, okay. Amid student loan tussles, more are seeking forgiveness. If only. As U.S. lawmakers consider how to keep interest rates on certain student loans from escalating, a growing number of students have sought help through a bipartisan 2009 initiative. In less than 3 years, more than 675,000 borrowers have signed up, according to the U.S. Department of Education. Educators and policymakers are looking for new solutions in a mountain of student debt that has reached the $1 trillion mark. With a November 6th presidential election looming, both President Barack Obama and his presumed Republican challenger Mitt Romney have targeted student loans as a growing problem for American families and the struggling U.S. economy. Obviously, they're taking different approaches to it, though. That comes to us from Reuters.
Yeah, I think what I have heard from Mitt Romney so far, I think he's rather far from the reality of people seeking student loans. But
I don't think that he probably has much student loan debt hanging over his head.
And another story on the Obama administration from the Washington Post. Abstinence-only education finds surprising new foothold. Last month, for the first time ever, Health and Human Services added an abstinence-only education curriculum to the list of 28 evidence-based pregnancy prevention programs that the Obama administration will fund. This was somewhat of a surprise, I would say so, yeah. So when it comes to preventing teen pregnancy, the Obama administration has staked out a decidedly anti-abstinence-only education stance. The president has in previous budgets zeroed out funds for such programs, as federal reviews have found such programs to have no impact on sexual abstinence and in some cases include inaccurate information on sexuality even. So, yeah, very surprising. Do you think this is a little bit, fighting for some ground with the more conservative voters, or
At least trying to move to the center a little bit. I mean, President Obama is actually remarkably centrist. People have painted him as a socialist, but he's pretty far in the middle.
We have a socialist president now.
You're right. You want to talk socialism, right? Let's look elsewhere than President Obama. But yeah, I think this is probably some political pandering going on, which is unfortunate because, you know, it's like, you know, I like the analogy, abstinence-only education is like choosing not to show students where the fire exits are because they might start fires. So, you know, but that's my two cents. So. From the study and research section. There's a gender gap in college leading women to prioritize work. Researchers led by the University of Texas at San Antonio, Professor Christina Durante, examined historical data on the ratio of single men to single women in each U.S. state and Washington, D.C. They also looked into the desire of hundreds of female college students to focus on career or family after they led them to believe that there were either more men or less men on campus by reading one of two news articles about the student population. As bachelors became scarce in college, the percentage of women in high-paying careers increased. Women delayed having children, had fewer kids when they finally started a family, and as for the experiment, when women read that there were fewer men than women on campus, they became more motivated to pursue ambitious careers than to start a family. That's from the Atlantic's health column. Interesting. So, yeah.
Hearing more from college life and how tech is changing that college life, we hear from Mashable that Education Mashable and other sources, they put together an infographic asking just how important is technology in academic lives. So more than 90% use email to communicate with professors, and 73% say they cannot study without technology. 7 in 10 take notes on keyboards instead of paper. Virtually all students who own an e-reader read textbooks on it, and most use digital tools when preparing a presentation. All that tech has caused something of a dependency too. 38% of students can't go more than 10 minutes without checking their smartphone or other device. All told, students spent $13 billion on electronics in 2009. And I mean,
oh, that was 3 years ago.
Right. So.
We're way beyond that now. That's unbelievable. Oh, it's totally believable, actually. Yeah. I'm a college student, so, and I have me, so I get that.
Well, good that he has a dad with some tech channels open to secure some devices, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I just gave him a couple of new cases to test out from Tough Love for his iPad. He's like, ooh, new toys. So, nerd vision. Up to 90% of Asian school kids are nearsighted. Nerd vision. Reporting in the journal Lancet, the authors noted that up to 90% of young adults in major East Asian countries, including China, Taiwan, Japan, Singapore, and South Korea, are nearsighted. The overall rate of myopia in the UK, by contrast, is about 20 to 30%. And an Israeli study compared public school children with their counterparts in religious schools. Both boys and girls had roughly equal rates of myopia in public school, but the boys in religious school had much greater rates of myopia than any of their peers, said Twalker. The result is as much as 10 hours of close reading a day. Girls in the religious schools, who weren't as burdened with what Twalker calls near work, experienced about the same rate of myopia as those enrolled in public school. That's another story from The Atlantic.
So they are the smartest, having the amino acids, making them learn faster and being more concentrated, maybe. Right. And on the other side, because of that, they are suffering from nearsight.
So we'll have to put those e-readers a little farther away from us, make sure we're stretching our eyes a bit.
Yeah. And The Wall Street Journal asks, no personal calls on the job? No thanks. So, what does it mean? Even in a tough job market, 23% of recent college graduates wouldn't take a post where they couldn't make or take personal phone calls. And 20% would reject a place that didn't let them check personal email, according to a new study from staffing firm Adecco Group North America. The study, which surveyed more than 522 to 26-year-old graduates of four-year degree programs, also found that newly minted graduates are short on patience. Only 3% said they expect to stay at any one job more than 5 years, and 33% say they would probably stay 3 years or less. So, very much like, sounds like the startup world, where I frequently see people we work together with staying, yeah, for about 2 years in a job, and, yeah, 2 to 3 years, I would say so.
Time to move on. Time for a new challenge. It's just a different mentality I think our parents had with that job they keep for 40 years and have
a
heart attack
as
and
long
die.
As they, 40 years provide some security, I think, which is not given in our economic situation anymore. And I think when they see an opportunity somewhere, they
take it,
and it's a new challenge, as you said.
Carpe diem. And that closes this episode of ENT. You will find all the links to the articles we covered on EduQuest. Just go to eduquest.com/ENT10, the number 10. Also, follow the EdNews Ticker on Twitter, @EdNewsTicker, to stay updated during the week. You can also help us with the show. Go to our new subreddit, @EdNewsTicker.reddit.com, and submit your own articles or vote and comment on those you want us to discuss during the week. ENT will be back on Friday. Until then, have a great rest of the week, folks.